I'm continuing this evening with the thought from last Sunday evening. Didn't figure you wanted me to give it all to you last week, since it's essentially 9 points. Didn't figure you wanted them all in one sitting. These main points, the main 8 points, were given to me by James Sutherland. Some of you know that name, a number of years ago. And so the main points aren't necessarily from my thoughts, but I surely think that they are good to be considered and thought about. Principles why Christians should evangelize. Using the text verse, as I mentioned last week, the launching pad phrase, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me." Jesus speaking, "Ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1:8. Ye shall be my witnesses. Why should Christians evangelize? The first one that I gave, let me go ahead and quickly refresh your memory. Those that I gave last week, number one was the exclusiveness of Christ. Jesus is the only way. Number two, the compelling love of Christ. "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Number three, the promise of his return, Acts 1:11, "So shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven, he shall come again." Number four, principles of why we should evangelize, the lostness of the lost. The lostness of the lost. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And number five, the certainty of eternity. "It is appointed unto man once to die, but after this the judgment." So real, so vital. And this evening I'm picking up with number six, and it is perhaps the most serious or the most alarming that would be presented. You say, well, this certainty of eternity is alarming. Well, this number six one, number six is perhaps even more so, because it would be considered a title for it would be the horrors of hell. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10 speaks about the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. And if we study that, if we look through that, carry that through the New Testament, through the scriptures, we'll understand that that is a place of torment. He goes on in that verse, "Where the beast and the false prophet are, shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Now, if you're looking at the context there, you might be able to say that that is for the devil, the beast, and the false prophet. But as you're looking at eternity and looking at the horrors of hell, you would have to come to the grips, come to the understanding that that is not just for them, but the torments of hell are for the lost, those that have rejected Christ. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is telling about the king saying to his servant, "Bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Hebrews chapter 10, a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Even though we have heard, even though we have understood, even though we have received the message of the gospel, that doesn't mean that we are free from the potential of the horrors of hell. And because of the horrors of hell, because of the understanding of how gross and how much torment there is, it should push us, it should compel us to tell the lost. Paul says in Romans chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Paul's talking about the negative effect of sin eternally. If we're going to evangelize, it's going to be partly because we understand and we feel and we've been made to realize how horrible eternity is lost without God. Jesus gives us a picture in Mark chapter 9 of the horrors of hell. As a matter of fact, in this passage of Scripture, he is using some really, really strong words. If a preacher were to give you this kind of admonition, this kind of counsel today, without the knowledge or the thought of this passage of Scripture, more than likely we would reject it. Because it's so radical. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, look at it. If you have your Bible open, care to turn to it. Otherwise, listen to me as I read it. Mark chapter 9, beginning with verse 43, he said, if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Now he is telling us there that this fire that shall not be quenched, the worm that never dieth, and the torment of all of that is much greater than even the potential, the possibility of losing even a hand if it offends you. What is he talking about? What is he really saying there? He's saying that it would be better if we were radical about our personal upsetting or besetting sin than to go to eternal punishment. I'm talking about the horrors of hell and principles why Christians should evangelize. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that radical elimination of the potential of sin is more valuable to us than to be lost for eternity. He goes on to say the same thing about a foot. And then he finishes that thought up of the radical severance of a foot would be better to cut off than to enter into life maimed than it is to go into hell with 2 feet, where the fire shall not be quenched and the worm dieth not. Then he goes on to tell us, he gives us the third example of the eye. It would be better to pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes be cast into hell, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. He's painting us a picture here of the horrific nature of eternal damnation. Not only am I wanting to get across to us tonight the reason why we should evangelize those around us, but I would like for it to also sink in for our own benefit to understand once again the importance of making sure. Even to the point of what we would consider radical moves. No, don't go out of here and cut off a hand. Don't go out of here and pluck out an eye. He's talking about radical moves, doing things to prevent that besetting sin from besetting us.
Number seven, why should we evangelize? Because of the accountability of every person. Ezekiel chapter 18, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's Old Testament. Because that's a principle of God. It's not just considered Old Testament. That's the principle of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him. And the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. The accountability of every person. And the accountability of every person. Who are you accountable tonight to? Who are you accountable to? Who is keeping record? Maybe there's somebody in life, in your present world, in your circumstances that is holding you accountable. That's good. But God is keeping record. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. That's a lot of record. That's a minute record. God is keeping track. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Jesus also tells us in Matthew chapter 18, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. You can read that whole account. The key of it there is that Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. And that king is taking account of his servants. Luke chapter 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. There's accountability. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Revelation chapter 20. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. Talking about the accountability of every person. Principles of why Christians should evangelize. Why should we evangelize? Because of the horrors of hell, because of the accountability of every person. And finally, because of the greatness of the Great Commission. The greatness of the Great Commission. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Christ. Ye are my witnesses. Come and I will make you fishers of men. James 5:20, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. The Great Commission.
Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The exclusiveness of Christ, the compelling love of Christ, the promise of his return, the lostness of the lost, the certainty of eternity, the horrors of hell, the accountability of every person, the greatness of the Great Commission. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Why should we evangelize? Let me read to you, some of you have probably heard this before, a parable written by a Mennonite pastor back in 1978. Listen carefully, if you would, please. Now it came to pass that a group existed who called themselves fishermen, and lo, there were many fish in the waters all around. In fact, the whole area was surrounded by streams and lakes filled with fish, and the fish were hungry. Week after week, month after month, and year after year, these who called themselves fishermen met in meetings and talked about their call to fish, the abundance of fish, and how they might go about fishing. Year after year, they carefully defined what fishing means and declared that fishing is always to be a primary task of fishermen. Continually, they searched for new and better methods of fishing and for new and better definitions of fishing. Further, they said, the fishing industry exists by fishing as fire exists by burning. They loved slogans such as, fishing is the task of every fisherman. Every fisherman is a fisher. And a fisherman's outpost for every fisherman's club. They sponsored special meetings called Fishermen's Campaigns and the Month for Fishermen to Fish. They sponsored costly nationwide and worldwide congresses to discuss fishing and to promote fishing and hear about all the ways of fishing, such as the new fishing equipment and fish calls and whether any new bait was discovered. These fishermen built large, beautiful buildings called fishing headquarters. The plea was that everyone should be a fisherman and every fisherman should fish. One thing they didn't do, however, they didn't fish. In addition to meeting regularly, they organized a board to send out fishermen to other places where there were many fish. All the fishermen seemed to agree that what is needed is a board which would challenge fishermen to be faithful in fishing. The board was formed by those who had the great vision and courage to speak about fishing, to define fishing, and to promote the idea of fishing in faraway streams and lakes where many other fish of different colors lived. Also, the board hired staffs and appointed committees, held many meetings to define fishing, to defend fishing, to decide what new streams should be thought about. But the staff and the committee members did not fish. Large, elaborate, and expensive training centers were built whose original and primary purpose was to teach fishermen how to fish. Over the years, courses were offered on the needs of fish, the nature of fish, where to find fish, the psychological reactions of fish, and how to approach and feed fish. Those who taught had doctorates in fishology, but the teachers did not fish. They only taught fishing. Year after year, after tedious training, many were graduated and were given fishing licenses. They were sent to do full-time fishing, some to distant waters which were filled with fish. Some spent much study and travel to learn the history of fishing and to see faraway places where the founding fathers did great fishing in the centuries past. They lauded the faithful fishermen of years before who handed down the idea of fishing. Further, the fishermen built large printing houses to publish fishing guides. Presses were kept busy day and night to produce material solely devoted to fishing methods, equipment, and programs to arrange and to encourage meetings. to talk about fishing. A speakers bureau was also provided to schedule special speakers on the subject of fishing. Many who felt the call to be fishermen responded. They were commissioned. They were sent to fish, but like the fishermen back home, they never fished. Like the fishermen back home, they engaged in all kinds of other occupations. They built power plants to pump water for fish and tractors to plow new waterways. They made all kinds of equipment to travel here and there to look at fish hatcheries. Some also said they wanted to be a part of the fishing party, but they felt called to furnish fishing equipment. Others felt their job was to relate to the fish in a good way so the fish would know the difference between good and bad fishermen. Others felt that simply letting the fish know they were there. They were nice, land-loving neighbors, and how loving and kind they were was enough. After one stirring meeting on the necessity for fishing, one young fellow left the meeting and went fishing. The next day, he reported that he had caught two outstanding fish. He was honored for his excellent catch and scheduled to visit all the big meetings possible to tell how he did it. So he quit his fishing in order to have time to tell about the experience to other fishermen. He was also placed on the fishermen's general board as a person having considerable experience. Now, it's true that many of the fishermen sacrificed and put up with all kinds of difficulties. Some lived near the water and bore the smell of dead fish every day. They received the ridicule of some who made fun of their fishermen's clubs and the fact that they claimed to be fishermen yet never fished. They wondered about those who felt it was of little use to attend the weekly meetings to talk about fishing. After all, were they not following the master who said, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men"? Imagine how hurt some were when one day a person suggested that those who didn't catch fish were really not fishermen, no matter how much they claimed to be. Yet it did sound correct. Is a person a fisherman if year after year he never catches a fish? Probing deeper, a question could also be asked as he finishes up his article. Is one following if he isn't fishing? Is one following if he isn't fishing? Principles why Christians should evangelize. You can pick out just one of the eight, or you can combine all of them. Singly, any one of them is enough to compel us. Combined should give us a burden for lost people. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Let's stand together tonight. I will make you fishers of men if you'll only follow me. God help us to be active, pursue, tell others. To evangelize. Amen. Trust you have a good week this week. Thank you for your attendance and attention tonight. Praise God. Troy, would you dismiss us this evening?